I'd like to welcome everyone to the sponsorship, the Heartbeat of Recovery Workshop at the WCNA 31. My name's Kevin again. I'm an addict. And I don't have any announcements. Does anybody have any announcements? Good. Can we please open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer? The serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I have asked Chris from California to read what is the Narcotics Anonymous program.
Hello, family. I'm Chris. I'm an addict from Sacramento, California. What is the Narcotics Anonymous program? NA is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We are recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. This is a program of complete abstinence from all drugs. There is only one requirement for membership, the desire to stop using. We suggest that you keep an open mind and give yourself a break. Our program is a set of principles written so simply that we can follow them in our daily lives. The most important thing about them is that they work. There are no strings attached to NA. We are not affiliated with any other organizations. We have no initiation fees or dues, no pledges to sign, no promises to make to anyone. We are not connected with any political, religious, or law enforcement groups and are under no surveillance at any time. Anyone may join us regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion. We are not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to our meetings regularly stay clean.
Thanks, Chris. And I've asked Opal from Alaska to read, Why Are We Here?
My name's Opal. I'm an addict from Anchorage, Alaska. Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods were sufficient for us. Our disease also always resurfaced or continued to progress until, in desperation, we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is then possible.
At this time, it's a privilege for me to introduce our first speaker today, Alexander S. from Maryland. Marilyn in the house. Yeah. Aloha. Breathe, Alexander, breathe. Woo. I'm Alexander, and I'm an addict. And I'd like to thank God for allowing me to be clean and be a part of such an awesome fellowship known as Narcotics Anonymous. And for that, I am truly, truly, without a shadow of a doubt, grateful. You know, to be a part of this fellowship, man. And to be asked to speak at the World Convention. You know, it's like I've been riding high on that for 3 months. I'm going to, not only going to the World Convention, but going to the World Convention in Hawaii. On top of it, you know what I'm saying? What a hit. You know, come out of a bandomanium, you know what I mean, to be able to ride horses in the mountains of Hawaii, to be able to jet ski on the blue waters of Hawaii. You know what I'm saying? To be able to stay in a lavish home next to the ocean. Oh, come on, give me a break. You know what I'm saying? And this is due to Narcotics Anonymous and that heartbeat sponsorship. Somebody showing me, hey, that it's a way to live clean without using, man, that heartbeat. You know what I mean? That vital part of life that's pumping things through me, man. Pumping some principles through my life, man. Giving me some things to look at. Because if I had wrote the script to be around here in Narcotics Anonymous, they'd have gave me a million addicts and all the oceans of ink. And to sit down and write a script, wouldn't have came close to the script, man, that Almighty God has written for me here in Narcotics Anonymous. Wouldn't have came nowhere near it. Because I'd have had something to do with the writing. You see what I'm saying? I'd have wanted to write in there, you know, banks and money all over the world. Property and prestige and all that thing. I wouldn't have never thought to write about Narcotics Anonymous, writing about some principles, writing about having some character and some dignity. I'd have never thought about writing them things because I'd have thought that the money would take care of that. The property and the prestige. You see? But having somebody, man, to guide me in this process of recovery, man, to show me what's really important in life. Because some things, man, in life, I mean, you know, because getting here and coming here in Narcotics Anonymous, man, all I have was just a pulse. Say, oh, yeah, we can work with you. You know what I mean? It was a faint pulse, but it was a pulse nonetheless. You see what I'm saying? And that heartbeat, man, seeing people that were here when I got here in this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And my clean date, matter of fact, is January 12th, 78. For those that's slow in math, that's 27 years, close to nine months. Well, I'm a little slow at math, so, you know. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned here, and I was in the penitentiary the last time, and it was, you know, and I barely squeaked out a GED. That's a, you know, the general education equivalence or something, you know. But I barely squeaked that out. So I'm not no profound educated person standing up here before you. But what I do have that, you know, a lot of times I've seen people with education just can't get it. I had a desire. I had a desire that burns deep inside of me, man. A desire for this new way of life. Because in the first steps to talk about, man, hitting that bottom, and you got to hit that place first to be able to get this. And I definitely hit that place, and I surrendered to this process of recovery. And that desire that I picked up in the penitentiary. I picked up a desire in the penitentiary because a guy came and visited me that I thought was worse than me when I was out there using. And come to find out, that man had been in Narcotics Anonymous for 5 years. And he was the first person I ever seen that gave me some hope. And that was that pulse. You know what I mean? Because this is my belief. And you can believe something, even if that which you believe is detrimental, you get the same results. You put the same energy and the same enthusiasm into that as if it was something that would give you life. I put a whole lot of enthusiasm into using. A whole lot. You know, matter of fact, I could have pushed the steamship from New York to Paris in 1 hour and I hadn't even left the house yet. Thinking about getting into using. You know, but when people started to show up, man, to give me that pulse, man, that we're here in Narcotics Anonymous, it was a good thing for me, you know, and I didn't have to bleed that dead old lie that once a junkie. You know, I don't have to bleed that lie no more, man, because we got life. And we got life abundantly here in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, through that sponsorship piece. You know, and I am so grateful, man, to have a sponsor in my life. I've had several, and each one came at an opportune time for me in my life. They presented some things to me, man, and gave me some things, just what I needed. Just what I needed at that time, and I need to read something. And it's out of Just for the Day. You know how, I don't know if the people that had opportunities to speak at conventions and stuff, you know, right away you want to go get some profound stuff. You want to hook all this stuff up that you're going to say. And I've been around here long enough to know none of that shit works. It just don't work. Because it's not about sounding. It's about that spirit, my spirit touching your spirit. Can you feel me? That's the hit. Can you feel what I'm saying? And you know if it's real or bullshit. But my girlfriend and I, we was sitting at the table drinking coffee. You know, you can drink coffee when you're clean and shit, you know, sit at a table. You know what I mean? You can do some things that, you know, and I don't take that for granted. That's a big deal, sitting at the table in the morning before work drinking coffee. That's a big deal. Anyhow, we looked at Just for the Day, because you try to read it every day. And I ain't got to read every page. I can go to the back of it and look, and it talks about sponsorship. And so it had three different ones in here. One was on page 9, and I really liked that one. That one really, and even when I think about it, I kind of like tear up, man, because it really like, phew. It says, returning our sponsors' kindness. It talks about our early involvement with others begin with our sponsor. Our sponsors can be an abundant source of recovery information, wisdom, and loving words. They've done so much for us, from the late night phone, telephone calls to hours spent listening to our recovery writings. They believed in us and invested their time to prove it. Damn, I hope these glasses don't fog up here. Thank you. And I don't read this 4 or 5 times, and I said, I'm going to get through this here shit without crying here. But and they vested their time to prove it. They've lovingly and firmly showed us how to be honest. Their boundless compassion in times of turmoil has given us the strength to go on. Their way of helping us prompted us to seek our answers within ourselves. Not giving me the solution to my problems, but prompting me to look inside myself and find what I need, because I've already got it. I just didn't know I had it. So they're trying to uplift that heartbeat in me, which makes this program run, man. Because once I identify what's going on with me, that I got my own answers to my own problems, but I need somebody to point them out to me. And as a result of that, my heartbeat gets a little stronger. And that's what I'm able to pass on to my sponsees. You know what I'm saying? Not fixing my problems, not, you know, but showing me how to look inside and get it for myself. Their way of helping us, oh, I already went over that, okay. Though our sponsors has given us generously and has never demanded repayment, there are things we can do to show our appreciation. We treat our sponsors with respect. With respect. You know, although a lot of times when I first got here, I didn't have no respect for myself. But I seen something in this person, man. I seen something in this person that I wanted. And I didn't offend the dope dealer. Hey, if he said get in the back of the line, that's where I went. If he told me to wait, no change, I'd go try to get some dollar bills. You see? So I don't have that kind of courage to come in here and disrespect somebody that's going to guide me on this precious journey. So I need to show my sponsors some respect, even when I don't have none for myself. They are not trash cans designed for us to dump our garbage in. That was a heavy hit. They have their times of trials and tribulations just like we do. And sometimes need our support. They are human. Damn. Have feelings and appreciate our concern. Maybe they would like to receive a card in the mail or a phone call expressing our love. Whatever we do to return our sponsors' kindness will enhance our personal recovery, not to mention the joy we bring to our sponsor. Just for today, my sponsor has cared for me when I couldn't care for myself. Today, I will do something nice for my sponsor. I love you, Jim. And, man, doing them trials, man, I mean, I watch what my sponsor do more than what he say. You know what I'm saying? I watch what he does, how he lives, how he treats his family, how he treats the people around him. That's the hit, because we can talk some good stuff, you know? And that's what I prompt to do with the guys that I sponsor, because it's about giving. Giving of self. But being able to draw that line also, because I don't know how to say no. I need to learn how to say no. You see what I'm saying? Because I need to learn how what's good for Alexander. Because people are watching me like I'm watching my sponsor. You know? Because I don't want to pass on no craziness. You know? And when things don't work, I'm willing to share that stuff too. I'm willing to say, hey, this didn't work for me. You know? And then I have to make the necessary things to change it. And you guys peeped my shirt. Did you check my shirt out? Sponsorship. What did it say? Pass it on. Pass it on. You know, because I really don't know what I have until I can share it with another human being. See, because giving it away, it sounds like a paradox if you're new, but it's not. Because we give it away so we can keep it. And in giving it away, we recognize what we have. And the more I give, the more I have. If I want something for myself, cause another to have it. And it's just that simple. And these are principles that I didn't have when I got here to Narcotics Anonymous. These are new things that I incorporated on the way. You know, it's a spiritual program. And that spirituality shows up through helping another human being. I went to an awesome workshop yesterday at the jazz thing yesterday where Danny spoke. And he talked about all the things in his life that worked for him came through helping somebody else. And what a better blessing than through sponsorship. And did you ever notice if you're a sponsor or being a sponsee that, especially being a sponsor, my sponsor say, I get more out of you. And I realize where he's coming from, because I get more out of my sponsees than, you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at their stuff and I'm not really looking at their stuff, because their stuff is my stuff. You see what I'm saying? And I'm talking with solutions for them, but they're really my solutions to give me life and to help me in this process of recovery. And when they go, we say, thank you, man. They be like, no, thank you. No, thank you. You ever do that? Like, thank you. No, thank you. Everybody be like, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, because of this process, man. And you feel it. You feel it. You know, I mean, things has been revealed to me through the sponsorship process, man, that I didn't get through writing. I just didn't get it. I got it through James, man. I got it through Frankie. I got it through other people, man, going over their step work. You know, and then I was able to go back and do some stuff for me. I want to live today. And I don't just want to simply exist. I want to live, man, with the ingredients inside of me of forgiveness, tolerance, patience, love, caring. You know, all them things, man. And not to just talk them, but to actually do them. You know, I'm really pissed off at one of my sponsees right now. I'm really pissed off, but maybe by the time I leave the island, I'll be okay. But that's part of the process of how do you love somebody and be pissed off at them at the same time. See, I'm learning how to deal with conflict through sponsorship. Because all these guys, they ain't necessarily, doing what I think they should be doing when they do need to do it. And then we get involved with them in other aspects of life. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes it creates a lot of feelings, man, you know. But my best thing for me is when I was sick, I had the Hep C, and I was on the medicine, and how through sponsorship, man, I came through that process. How people, man, literally loved me to life, you know, because I was afraid my liver was damaged. You know, and I was, anybody ever done that medicine, they know that shit had you psycho. I mean, you be out of your gorg. You know, I'm isolating one day. I'm in my bedroom and I hear some noise in my living room. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm hallucinating. And they talking, you go in there. No, you go in there. You go. So I come out of the bedroom and here's the sponsee, the police, and the maintenance man. I'm like, he said, we thought your ass was dead up in here. You know what I mean? And I'm like, and they apologizing for coming in. But I'm, thank you. Who would take that kind of risk? You know what I mean? To show up for us, man. They took a risk, man, and came and looked for me, man. My sponsor talked with me all the time. And where I got the courage from, I got the courage from my sponsor. My sponsor's a liver transplant survivor. You know, and I come up with the Hep C, and I got to go on this medicine. Who do I look for my strength and my hope? My sponsor. And my sponsor was dying. And I said, what, you have any regrets? He said, no. Only regret I might have is to leave. I got a young son that I might leave my son. And I said, God damn, what kind of man is this? That I'm in the presence of, that he ain't even thinking about himself dying. He's thinking about always somebody else. And that's the kind of man I got in my life. And he gave me this song. He said, you know how to sing? I said, yeah, I can sing a little bit. He said, can you sing this song? It's one of my favorite songs. And the song was Bette Midler, The Wind Beneath My Wings, right? And so I think I can sing. I can't sing or shit. But I didn't have... My smiles asked me to sing it, shit. You know? So I said, you know you are my hero. And I looked around, he cried like a baby, man. You know? And I was like, damn, that's my sponsor. So what did that do for me? It gives me permission to be able to express my feelings, man. I ain't got to be a tough guy around my sponsor. He's given me life, man. He's showing me how to be a human being. You know? Oh, my God. And then the things that I remember, and I go on them things, man, with my sponsees. You know, we pray together. And I know he was just looking for a pulse when he had my hands, but that's okay. You know? And I pray with my guys, man. Because if I can't pray with you 9 out of 10 times, I won't be able to sponsor you. If you won't let me pray with you, 9 out of 10, I won't be able to sponsor you. Because that's that spiritual connection. I said, maybe I can. I ain't saying I can't, but I haven't ran into that yet. I've ran into some tough-ass guys around here, and I grabbed them hands before they could think about it. You know what I'm saying? I said, we need to pray. They said, what? I'll be like, you know what I'm saying? I got your ass. You know what I mean? And we pray and we invite a loving, caring God into the situation. I don't care what your God is. I don't care. My job is to believe in you. My job is to be there for you. My job is to listen, not to judge, not to give you my opinion, but to give you my experience, my strength, and my hopes. You see what I'm saying? Because the sponsor, preferably, is a person, man, that knows how to deal with life situations without using. Preferably, they have 12 steps and 12 traditions in their life. Not just the 12 steps and the traditions, because can you clap with one hand? You need them both. You need the traditions also. It's a vital part of our fellowship. And that's what my sponsor got me on a mission. And he asked me, he said, Alexander, I need you to do the 12 and 12. I need you. He didn't give me no time frame, so. You know, but he wants me to be able to do the 12 and 12, you know, and to, because a lot of people with clean time around here, you see, I mean, you'll find a lot here in this convention, but how many can you find in your area that still shows up, that's willing to be the heartbeat of this fellowship, willing to pass it on, willing to show up, willing to take a commitment, willing to still pick up a newcomer, still willing to pick up coffee cups at the home group, still willing to hug at the door. You see what I'm saying? still willing to do this, because sometimes the new people need to see people with more than a year, more than 30 days. They need to know that we got longevity in this fellowship. They need to hear the heartbeat from the people that's been around here for a while doing this thing consistently and not wavering. They need to hear that. You know, they need to hear that, man. They need to know, man, that our fellowship, because somebody, yeah, we ain't got no longevity. You got to go to AA. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. We got people in Narcotics Anonymous that's been clean, and if you're a new person, you got call them. If they got the courage to give you their phone number, call their asses. Because you think that they'll help you, but you're helping them. Remember, they have what you want, and to give it away means that you can keep it. You see what I'm saying? So it's your responsibility as a newcomer. You know, don't put it all on us. It's your responsibility, if you want what we have, to come and get it. Because if I had dope, your ass would swim across the Pacific. Right? And then you wouldn't be no wimpy doing it. We wouldn't have to say, would you sponsor me? Huh? Would you sponsor me? No. If I had dope, hey, give me 2 bags! Put that same kind of enthusiasm in the sponsorship. You understand what I'm saying? Put that same enthusiasm. You know? And you don't have to be smart to get this. Matter of fact, you can be too smart and miss it. Miss it. Like, if you don't pick it up, you can't get high. Whoa, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? I was glad. I'm serious. Because, you know, that this was a simple program. That this was real simple. You know, that you didn't have no degree or none of that. And it's a more feeling program, because a lot of times, like the one of the speakers said last night, you ain't got to say nothing and we can make a connection. I make that connection with my sponsor. I don't have to do a whole lot of talking. I can feel him. You see what I'm saying? And if you can't feel that, if you've got a sponsor for the wrong reasons, and your heart is not, and it's not, you're not getting the juice that you need, then you need to maybe move on and find somebody else. Maybe you got him because he had gold in a nice car. That ain't a reason to get a sponsor. You might have got him because he sounds slick, you know, or whatever. But you need to get him because he has what you want, you know, in the way of principles, in the way of dignity, in the way of spirituality, in the way of them things, not things that you can see with your eye, not the illusional happiness. Illusional happiness is in money, property, press. That's illusional. That shit fades away. The bottom line, will he be able to give you some principles that you can stand on? Stand on. You know, not like quicksand and shit where you just sink on them. You know, but some principles that you can stand on. You know, acceptance. When I finally realized in that first step, because I had a problem with being powerless. But a sponsor said that no, it simply means once you surrender to the disease, then you become empowered. You have a power of choice. I'm like, oh. But I couldn't have figured that out myself. You see what I'm saying? So he gave me life for that day. He gave me something to pass on. And I heard this guy say one time, you ever hear anybody, they call this chemical inside of us, it's called, not the endorphins, what's the other chemical inside of us? Adrenaline? No, that's close. But anyhow, this guy said that if I give him a gift, right, it's a chemical in our body that automatically reacts. And you feel real good about it, right? And then other people can see me give him the gift, and they get the same feeling. So just imagine how sponsorship work. We see this gift working on a big level here in Narcotics Anonymous. That's the energy that you feel when you come into Narcotics Anonymous. You feel that energy because you know there's some shit going on in here. You might not be able to explain it in words. A lot of times I can't. You see, I couldn't think of that word. But see, opinion. That's good. I don't know what to say. Serotonin. That's it. Sarah, you won the big prize. You get a drink of water. Serotonin. See, I told you I wouldn't help, so you got to listen real close to me because I might be jumping from spot to spot. But if you don't get shit else from me, get this. I got a sponsor, I'm clean, and I work the steps, and I pass it on. I pass it on. That's real simple. And if you can do that, wherever you live, if you can show up, make meetings, and do all the other stuff that I told you about, you'll be okay. And guess what? Shit, I ain't got... Hey, I don't have to have a degree to be clean. I don't have to have a degree to make a living. I don't have to have a degree to do none of that shit. All that shit's good. But that is not my happiness. 11th step talks about that I can be happy with money or without. With a relationship or without one. But I need to have a loving, caring God in my life to be happy. I need to help other people to be happy. That's a hit. That is truly a hit. I know for me, it's working for almost 28 years, you know, helping people. I still sponsor 14 or 15 people. Maybe 10 of them or 9 of them might be doing actual step work. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's a blessing. You know, to have 9 people out of, that's almost more than half, doing step work. So I'm busy all the time. You know what I mean? Inviting people into my home because I don't want to use, I don't want to die. I want to be a part of this fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to live, and I want to live abundantly. You know, I want to be able to maybe come on the aisle and get married like my friend Frank. Just got married yesterday. Big Mike in here just got married the other day in Oahu. You know, raising families and doing things, man, because we're standing on some principles, man. We're standing on something that makes this fellowship work here in Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, you can't live without your heart, can you? Neither can this fellowship. We need to pass it on, you know. And if you're not, if you work the 12 steps, or if you work some of them, some people's area, people have to sponsor people with less than 12 steps because of logistics, less meetings. Sometimes people have to, you know, sponsor people without doing all the 12 steps. You know, but if you've done the 12 steps and you're not sponsoring anybody, then you see what I'm saying? You're kind of like stealing. You know, you need to, you know what that's like? It's like, what's them things in your when you eat a lot of cholesterol and stuff that block up your veins? Cholesterol, right? Yeah, block your veins up. Yeah, plaque and stuff. You like blocking the veins up. You ain't letting the blood get to the heart where we can get a solid beat. You don't want to be a clot, do you? So if you don't want to be a blood clot, sponsor somebody. Help our heart beat a little. You know what I'm saying? Help us with that process. You know? About done. Okay. I got a little joke I need to tell you because, you know, for me it's about laughter. It's about not taking myself so serious, but taking this program seriously. And I guess hope you got something out of this here thing, you know, what I talked about today. But this zebra died and went to heaven. And, this is a joke, y'all. I want to tell you. He started talking that religious shit. Zebra died and went to heaven, right? And when he got to the gate, St. Peter said, "Mr. Zebra, you have any questions to ask before you come in?" He said, "Yes, Your Holiness. All my life I wanted to know, was I black with white stripes or white with black stripes?" St. Peter said, "Damn, that's heavy. You better go in and ask God." So he trotted in, and God said in the God voice,
Zebra, come here.
So the zebra came over, and he said, you have any questions to ask before you come? And he said, yes, Your Holiness, all my life I wanted to know, was I black with white stripes or white with black stripes? And God said, my son, you are what you are. So the zebra's looking all confused like, y'all all right. So St. Peter had to be an addict. He couldn't wait till the zebra tried it back out. Come here. What'd he say? And so the zebra said, he said, my son, you are what you are. St. Peter said, oh, that explains it. Zebra said, what do you mean? He said, you were black with white stripes. He just said, you is what you is.
What a privilege to be here, huh?
Thanks, Alexander, for an awesome speech. And now I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Karen W. from Missouri.
Thanks. I'm an addict. My name's Karen. I didn't know if it was the stage shaking or my knees. I thought I was going to fall off the side. Okay. Shift, everybody shift. I am so grateful to be here. I am so grateful to have been asked to share at this convention. This is an amazing thing when we all come together. We got here Tuesday night, and we're delirious with the time change. And so Wednesday morning, I went and I sat out on the beach really, really early in the morning, because I don't know what time it was for me, but it was really early. And I went and I sat out there, and I started seeing people coming onto the beach. And even when we were just kind of getting here, we're even coming on the plane. I was watching people getting on the plane thinking, here's a group of people who, however many years ago in your own personal life, if you had a job, could you get the money from the paycheck to your bank account? And here we've managed to get ourselves here and to stay here. And for several of us, we've gotten other people here. There are people who companion ticketed total strangers, who have been, you know, here, take my ticket. I don't really need to see the comedy show, but you might. You know, I mean, we ended up with a jazz breakfast. We didn't buy tickets for it, and then somebody else is at a comedy show that we bought tickets for. It's just an amazing thing, and people just hug each other everywhere and just love each other. And one thing that my husband had said to me World conventions ago, as we saw these two people hugging, who were about as opposite on the physically looking at them scale as you could possibly get. Hugging and just loving each other and holding on to each other. And he looks at me and he says, at some point in their lives, one of them saved the other one's life. It's an amazing thing what we do. And I've noticed that there's some people in here who are trying to put translation sets on. And I don't know if this is being translated, but I've been to meetings where I didn't speak the language. It didn't matter. It didn't matter, because one interesting thing, the colors of these don't change. So if there was a blue one, I was in the right place, because the blue one is who is an addict. And I knew I was in the right place. And when people do the Just for Today, they pause in certain places, no matter what language it's in. And okay, sometimes people chime in so you can tell what they're doing then. But you know, it's just the beauty of a world convention. A world convention. So I'm just so grateful to be standing here with my knees shaking. And that you know what? You know, some of you who know me love me, because you're here because I'm here. And I know that, you know, maybe you're not here because you want to hear about sponsorship, but you're here because I'm here, and I love you for that. And those of you who don't know me, well, you know what? We're all here for the same thing. And as I thought in my first meetings, this is an hour and a half, I guarantee you, if you're sitting in this chair, you won't be getting loaded. I just want to say one thing about something that's happening outside of this island, which is I have been, like most people, absolutely amazed at the sights I'm seeing on television. And I just want to tell you a little story. About 5 years ago, my sponsor flew to New York to see her father who was dying. And he actually died about an hour and a half after she got there. The next morning, my phone rang. My father told me that my mother had was on her way to the hospital. And he didn't know if she'd be alive when they got there. Now, her father had been ill. My mother had just retired, bought her dream home, and this was completely unexpected. We were on opposite ends of the coast for about a week. And we were on the phone all the time. We had the ability to talk to each other through several time zones, through a lot of air, and we were surrounded by addicts who had come to help us, one of which I saw here, the guy who was like, I think he was like assigned to get me to meetings at night. And I love him. And if he's here, I love you. If you're not here, I love you still. And anyway, so my point being is a lot of people would call me and say, is there anything that I can do for you? And the only thing that came to my head, aside from bring my mother back, which was not going to happen, is, would you just call your mom? Well, I'm thinking about all those addicts in Mississippi and in Louisiana who can't call their sponsors. And so if your sponsor isn't here, when you leave this meeting, will you go call your sponsor for them? Because one thing that's happened, I lived in San Francisco during the 1989 earthquake, and I was with my sponsee at Candlestick Park. And we were able to find a way to manipulate our way onto a bus and get to a meeting. The meeting place was there. It was dark. There was no electricity, but a bunch of addicts came together. They don't even have that. So in that moment of silence, wherever you take it, whenever you take it, if you can just say a prayer for those people who don't have a basic text, who don't have a phone to call their sponsors, and this is there no matter what, that they don't find a way to use or kill themselves. Because the one thing I know about my sponsor is no matter where I am, if I can't reach her, if I can't see her, I know she loves me. No matter what. That she loves me when I'm a brat. She loves me when I'm a good girl. She loves me when I disagree with her. She just loves me. So that's all I want to say about that. You know, a really cool thing about this, and I want to thank you for your share, is I had actually been asked to do a workshop before at a world convention, and what an honor it is to ask to do one again. And the amazing thing is that through I have 20 years clean, and I'm still the newcomer when I speak. You know? That's just amazing. I just love that. I love that there's someone who came before me and opened the doors for me so that I had a place to go. And I'm just amazed. So I do want to talk about sponsorship because I believe in sticking to the topic. And I asked my sponsor yesterday, so should I talk? I'm going to talk about you. And so should I talk about being a sponsor or having a sponsor? And so I'm going to talk about being a sponsor and having a sponsor. And tell you that when I first got clean, I searched and searched, and I was in a facility that told me I needed to find somebody, and I needed to find somebody who had what I wanted. And I went to a meeting, and they were having a discussion about their treasurer had just disappeared with some money, but they wanted her to come back. They just wanted her to keep coming back. And I was a thief, and so I wanted her for my sponsor. That was going to work for me because she was a thief. They told her to keep coming back. I thought, right on. You know, that'll work for me. And that kept me coming back, that she stole your money and you let her come back. And then she disappeared, so that didn't work. I didn't have a sponsor anymore. And then I saw this girl, and she was younger than me. And there was one night that I couldn't make the NA meeting, so I went to an AA meeting, and she used to be there all the time, and I wasn't really sure because that's where she went, and she had been around for about 5 years, and, you know, I thought, okay, this is fine, this will work, because she was really sweet and nice, and I thought I could manipulate the hell out of her because she was an alcoholic, and I was a good manipulative drug addict, and I worked some steps with her, and then we were at a meeting one day, and she was talking about her baby, and I was absolutely sure that in this giant auditorium, a light was coming from the ceiling, shining on me, and I got really pissed off at her. And we were doing a step, and she asked me a question about how it felt when I did a specific drug, and my thought in my head was, you want to know? Go do it yourself. And but that's not what she was asking me. She was asking me what happened to me when I used so that I wasn't feeling, but I didn't get that. So I dumped her ass, and I thought, I don't need you. If you don't know how that drug works, go use it, and then come back, and I'll sponsor you. And not to say I wasn't an arrogant newcomer. I'm an arrogant old-timer. and I'm not an old-timer, so that's an interesting slip of the tongue. So I went on and asked several other people who were married or had children or had things that I wanted, material things that I wanted. And then when I asked, I was all ready to do an inventory with her, and she never showed up. And I was absolutely sure I had asked her. And she never showed up, and I saw her at a meeting, and I said, where were you? And she goes, I don't know where you live. And once again, you know, what I thought was, I don't need you. But one of the things I hadn't been paying attention to was that relationship was my responsibility, not hers. I have one sponsor. She has many sponsees. And I still feel that way today, although I just realized that, you know, later about that. But so I went back to that original girl, and she guided me through the steps. And it was a miracle. So I believe that if my count is right, I had 7 sponsors my first year. 2 and 7 were the same woman. And I kept that woman for a while until I realized that I wanted a woman to sponsor me who only went to NA because I only wanted to go to NA because I was an addict. And it didn't matter what I used. It didn't matter if it was a drug, if it was food, if it was money, if it was men. It didn't matter. And I needed to find somebody in the fellowship. And so I was at a convention at the Los Angeles airport, and it was called Flight to Freedom. I'm just realizing it's the same as a convention that they have where I live now. And I ended up at a table with this old grumpy man who I was convinced was the king or the president or something. He ran the place. And because he used to always say, you know, come to a meeting even if your ass is falling out off. Don't use no matter what. I mean, he was just grovelly and old, and everybody seemed to pay attention when he talked. And I ended up at a table all alone with this guy, which, so how you doing? Well, I'm fine. No, really, got a sponsor? And I thought, you know what? You're the king. You can find one for me. So I said, no. I said, I don't. Because all these women seem to go somewhere else. They don't stick around. They got 5 years. They're gone. I don't know where they go. They graduate. They go somewhere. But I can't find anybody who's staying here to sponsor me. Well, I'll sponsor you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I'll find somebody. Honest, I will. And I did. And I found somebody, and this man was a miracle in my life, and that was a real icebreaker, and we remained quite close until he passed, and he helped me again with this, and I'll get there in a minute. And so I found a sponsor, and I had several of them, and I kept going, and I had sponsees. And I had a period of time in my recovery where I hid out from my disease in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's another topic and another time. But what I did was I stayed clean, talked the talk, participated. My husband and I were, you know, Mr. and Mrs. N.A. We did all the activities together. Everybody knew us. We had our kids. We had those little N.A. tots, you know, and and our little children, "Catch me, Kitty!" You know, and we had the little badges on their strollers. You know, our kids were these little, and it's really cool because my oldest son is 17, and I have this picture in my wallet because he just pitched the state junior legion baseball game and won for the state of Missouri. And we went on to Louisiana and played and won there. Okay, that's my pitch for my kid. And that was an interesting trip with all these parents who had the donated booze from Bush, Anheuser-Busch, that was gone before they ever got to Louisiana. But we went to meetings. They all stayed and drank. But anyway, and so we had these NA kids, and I didn't participate in anything. I had a sponsor in name only. I said I had a sponsor, which was my way of staying in denial that I was in recovery. And I did that for 8 years. And I don't recommend that you do it. If you're doing it now, I feel for you. I'll give you a little bit of hope. I stopped. I came out. I took my head out of my ass, looked around, and realized that all these people who got clean after me were a lot better than I was. And that hit my ego hard enough that I, you know, kicked me and I moved on. And so several things happened. And in about 12 years clean, my marriage fell apart. My best friend died. I called one of the girls I had sponsored for a very, very long time. We had actually gone to high school together, which is a really interesting thing. There's one person in the universe who gets me, and that's her. That's pretty cool. So I called her and I said, you know, I feel like I'm falling into a hole and I would like you to make sure that I get out every once in a while. So will you call me and just make sure I'm still here? Because it wasn't about using. It was about just wanting to not be here anymore. It was that feeling like in the movie The Graduate when the guy's in that big metal encased thing and all you hear is that whoosh, whoosh. That's all I wanted was to hear whoosh. And so I called that man, that grumpy old man, and he had been my soon-to-be ex-husband's sponsor, but I got him in the divorce. So I called him, and I said, I need some help. Can you help me? I need to find a sponsor. And he started giving me lists of names of women who had been clean for a while, and I started calling them. And some of them had, you know, 112 sponsees. Some of them went to everything that the last initial was A. Some of them were just, I just couldn't find them. But I trotted after every lead this man gave me. And he had a home group that was actually a more social meeting. I mean, it was great for newcomers. It was a perfect newcomer meeting because it was about this size and you could come in and you could see exuberance abounding. You could see people who had been clean speaking anywhere from 3 years to 29 years or 28 years, you know, as much clean time as we had around there. And you could just see it. And every week they did chips, and it was a big production. And I mean, it was a perfect meeting. But it was kind of not the place for me to find a sponsor, I didn't think. But this girl was speaking that night, and I went. And then this other woman got up and started sharing about something that was going on in her life. She was going to take the bar and couldn't pass it. And this woman had something that I liked right then and there. She had tenacity. She had stick-to-itiveness. She was going to take it again. And she got up and she got her 13-year coin that year, chip, coin, whatever you call it where you live, and that little thing that says X111. Now it says 13, though, I hear. So anyway, she went to go get that, and she shared she just shared after the speaker, and I was just like, here's the arrogant girl. Well, I've never seen her before, and we got clean the same year. Where has she been? Obviously, this is not a woman who goes to meetings only to get her coin. That is the pot calling the kettle black. So, anyway, we started talking afterwards, and we started talking on the phone. And... She She called me or I called her, and I remember putting a lawn chair in my front yard and sitting there with a portable phone and talking to her forever about what it was like to be the woman with the most clean time in the room. And we only had, she had 13, I had 12. We both got clean in 1984. We're not talking here like extreme lengths of time. We're like middle age NA. Well, that's what we are. But anyway, whoa. The earth moved. I swear to God. So we started talking on the phone, and she would talk about this loving God, and she would talk about these things she had done in her life and where she had come from and where she was. And I was just like, wow. And I remember thinking, you know, well, I wish she would kind of tell me how she worked the steps, because I would kind of like to know how she did it, and then I would just do it or find somebody to help me. Apparently, in my head somewhere, I had a picture of what my sponsor was going to look like. Now, I don't think it was a physical picture. I think it was a clean time picture. Anyway, I said to her in one of these conversations, I really like the way you work the steps. Could you tell me a little more about it? And she would just start talking about her loving God, and she wasn't answering the question the way I wanted it answered. So I would find another way to ask it. Now, we do that really well. If you don't get the answer you want, you either ask somebody else or turn the words around in the question to get the answer that you want. So, but she wasn't biting. I couldn't get her to, like, tell me this stuff. And at one point she said to me, she says, Karen, are you asking me to be your sponsor? And I'm like, yay, she got it. I'm like, well, yeah. She says, well, then you have to ask me. So I said, would you please be my sponsor? She goes, I don't know, I'll think about it. Why don't you call me every day? So I put my little humble tail of 12 years between my legs and called her. And then I tried to just get her answering machine. You can't do that with this woman. Well, now you can because she's a lot busier. But it used to be that you could call her cell phone or her telephone and get her every time. And that really screwed me up. Because I just went, hi, it's me. I'm calling today. Bye. So she gave me a tape of her to listen to. And I couldn't get through the introduction that her sponsee gave her. Because in this introduction, her sponsee said something to the effect of, if your sponsor's not here or you don't have one, I will share mine with you now. And the love that I heard in that girl's voice, I wanted that. And then I was really upset because this girl had had her for a long time. And I wanted to have her. I hate all you people. I got clean and met my sponsor when I had 3 weeks, and she's been sponsoring me ever since. That ain't my story. But you know what's really cool? Is now she's been sponsoring me for 8 years. So now I can say I've had the same sponsor for 8 years. And she's had hers for 16. You know, and so it's just a day at a time. Everything's a day at a time. And where this woman has taken, it's as if the steps were in Sanskrit for up to my 12th year and then they became English, you know. I was just willing, but at 12 years clean, I was more desperate than I had been when I came in, because the ruin and the destruction was far greater then that it had been. When I was using, I could do anything and not think about it. But I had had 12 years of doing some pretty screwed up stuff and knowing that I did it. So it was the wreckage of my recovery that I needed a lot of help with. Okay. So I started working steps with her. And I found that loving God that she talked about. And then I got to my sixth step. Well, first I had to do my inventory, which was like, you know, I had done so many inventories. I'm not a big believer in the inventory as the kick-ass step. You write a story, you read it to somebody. If it's not true, it's not true. It'll come back and bite you in the ass in the sixth and seventh. Trust me on that. But if, you know, and you write what you want to write, nobody's saying, hey, you forgot that. You know, you're just writing what you want to write. And so I did this step, and we were going to do the fifth step, and we did it at a convention in Portland. And I read this whole thing. She didn't fall asleep, you know, she listened. And at the end, she did not open the safe in the closet and put all her stuff in it. She did not change rooms. She told me that she loved me. She handed me a list of several words that were the beginning of my sixth step and said, let's go to the dance, or whatever it was that there was that night, and off we went, you know. And she just loved me. And then I was on this step that kicked my butt. And I was convinced, you know, you write enough about defects of character. And I was starting to be convinced that that was what defined me. Only those things defined me. I couldn't find the goodness in myself because I was so consumed with the things that were not good. And in every part of this step, she always had me look for the spiritual principle, for the opposite of the defect in the spiritual principle. And so anyway, I got through that step, and I have since gotten through the steps with her, and I'm now starting again, and this time it was interesting because she got to know me very well by me doing these steps, and I got to know her very well by doing them too. And also several other things that have happened in our lives. And, you know, when she first started sponsoring me, one thing I was sure of is I didn't want a girlfriend. I was not looking for a girlfriend. I had girlfriends. They had all died. I was not interested in any girlfriends here. I was not looking for a friendship. I didn't want a buddy. I didn't want any of that. I just wanted to get better. I didn't realize that that was part of getting better, was the ability to love another person just because you do. Just no matter what they're like, for all the things that I don't like about somebody, to still love them is just accepting them for who they are. And now when I look at her, I see what she is, and I love her. I just love her because she's her. And that's all that matters. So this time when she gave me my first step, she also gave me the things that I need to write on, because she was the one who listened to all my stuff. And so now she knows what I need to write on. It's all the unresolved stuff that I was working on. And so that's how I am with my sponsor, and I adore her. And she has taught me a lot about one of the things you mentioned was respect. And when she had been my sponsor for not very long, I get this phone call, and, you know, I was divorced, and I had my children were with their dad every so often. And I get this phone call from her that she knows that there's this weekend coming up, and she knows that my kids will be with their father. And her sponsor is coming to speak where I live, and so they're going to be staying with me. I felt like, oh, my God, it's visiting royalty. What am I going to do? And also there were some little things like I needed to clear out my kitchen because this woman had real food stuff going on at the time. And I have kids. I have to have that kind of stuff. Well, put it in another refrigerator, you know. And so I did. I did everything that she asked me to do, and I didn't question it, although in my head every once in a while I went, what? Who is this person? And then I met her. And I didn't look at her as, I can't talk to you because I'm a, you know, mindless peon. I looked at her as, you're sponsoring people who are sponsoring people who have sponsored a woman who is sponsoring me, and thank you. What can I do to help you today? And that's what it was about. You know, I often tell people, there was an incident where there was a girl that I sponsored that didn't care for my sponsor, and that's totally her choice. She didn't ask her to sponsor her, she asked me. I said, you know what, you don't have to like her, but you need to respect her around me. And if you're not going to do that, then you need to not be around us for quite a few days. Because I believe that when I show her, now my sponsor scared the hell out of me. I mean, this woman is abrupt, to say the least. But what I've learned is, because I listen to my sponsor telling me what her sponsor has told her, and all I hear is, this woman is so loving. You know, and when I call, she's at work. And, of course, she goes, what? She's at work. you know? But she'll always say to me, I'm going to be at this meeting, be there, goodbye. And then I go to that meeting and she's there. You know, because when I go to the town she lives in, I call her. So anyway, I had this weekend with my great grand sponsor, and I was absolutely blown away. I was just amazed at you know, the changes that one woman can do in others' lives. And so something that's come from that, there's two things. One is I have a network of women in my life that I don't even know. But I can tell you that when I went to Israel, the connection I had to go to a meeting in a bomb shelter in Tel Aviv was a sponsee times sponsee, 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 sponsee of that woman. And they picked me up by what I was wearing, took me to a meeting, looked for people who could translate, and just sat with me and loved me no matter what, only because of their respect for their sponsor and their sponsor and their sponsor and their sponsor. And if you look in the big picture of things, that's how we respect each other. And it's interesting because you don't have to like, believe me, I'm not like a big I love you. I'm not the United Way. I don't know you, not love you. When I get to know you, and you know, and I'm kind of like that. You know, I believe a lot. I'm not a big hugger either. And that comes from what was in my life before I got clean. There were only certain ways in which you were going to touch me. And I'm still that way. You know, and I don't make excuses for it. I just am. Maybe I'll change. Maybe I won't. I'm okay with it. So anyway, that's one of the things. And so I have this network of women in my life. They're doing this party for my sponsor's sponsor, sponsor. And they're doing this big party for her. And so I walk into registration, and this one girl comes up to me, got your list. We're listing all our sponsees. Got your list. And then this other woman I meet at the luau, oh, thanks for, because we're sending stuff, you know, in from far and wide. And I don't even, like, I don't know these people, you know, and it's so cool. And so that's that. And another thing that happened, too, is I went to a meeting in Seattle once, and I was talking about the sixth step, and I was mentioning how I was doing it. And one of the girls walked up to me, and she goes, so which one of Sydney's girls are you? And I thought that was really funny, just because the way we do this particular step seems to have had a life of its own in the fellowship. So, the other thing that's happened is I moved. I moved from an area that I got clean and had a life and grew up in. And at 17 years clean, I moved. And I moved for the best reason in the world, because God put somebody in my life who's my spiritual equal, who I love. And he happened to live in Missouri. And as much as I miss everybody where I got clean, I love him more. It's just really hard when I'm at the World Convention, because I see so many people that I don't see all the time. And what he does, there's people he wants to see too, but he hangs out with me and the people that I know. And I just love him. That's a gift from a loving God. So anyway, I moved to this place where it was very different. Very, very different. Extremely different. And I grew up in NA. When I say I grew up, I mean I grew up in NA, in an area where the women surround each other. It's like elephants. If you have one, not like that, like elephants. It's like if you have one who's not well, she becomes surrounded by those around her who will do for her things. I mean, if there is some incident, there was an incident once, I was pregnant and so was this other girl. And this other girl had her baby first, the baby was deathly ill, like was going to die ill. And she was ill too. And the things that showed up at this woman's house before her child didn't come home I think my baby came home first and he was born 6 weeks later. There was food at the house. There was everything. Everyone, and nobody had to ask. It was one phone call to two phone calls to four phone calls to eight phone calls. What can we do? Let's set up a schedule. We'll just take care of it. It wasn't intrusive. It was loving. And when it was time to stop, they stopped. And I moved to a place that this was unheard of. I saw one person go into a storm, and she was surrounded by some of the women who her sponsor also sponsored her, and the women outside that were pushed away. And so I, you know, made frantic phone calls back to the Bay Area. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Lead by example, lead by example, lead by example. There were some things that happened when we first got there that really set the tone for me, and I had to forget them. When I had been in Missouri for 7 days, my husband almost died. And nobody came to our house. Nobody called. And for, you know, a good couple of years, I was really pissed off because they didn't help me. And then I realized, that's not it. He'd been clean there 16 years. Where were they for him? I mean, granted, we lived in the middle of nowhere, but everybody lives in the middle of nowhere. So I started looking at some of the things that had worked. You know, I felt like this pioneer, you know. I felt like this pioneer woman of NA. And I had to fight a lot of arrogance, and I had to fight a lot of ego. And I decided to do something that my sponsor did, only make it a little different, expand it. And I invited all my sponsees to come have a little luncheon, bring some food, bring a little gift, let's all share. And then they invited their sponsees. And the first year, there were 13 women, and I think we had 109 years clean, everywhere between like a few days, and I think I had 18 years then. Following year, we had 31 women, and a lot more clean time. Last year, we had 53 women, and this year, we rented a hall. Because my house can't hold all those people. And you know what the thing is the men do something there. The first weekend in October, they all go to this guy must have this incredibly large amount of land, but they all show up for a day and a half or 2 days at this guy. I mean, everybody's going to Mexico, Missouri. Everybody's going to Mexico for this sponsee event. You just go. They come in carloads. They come from St. Louis. They come every big carloads of people. Now, I don't ever want to quite get to that point, but that's a little scary. But we have this thing with women, and everybody brings a little dish to share and a little gift, and we play that greed gift thing where you have numbers, and then you get a gift, and then the next person can take yours or pick another one. You have never seen more greed come out in a group of women. But what's happened is they all kind of know each other now. And they've all come to be there. And so if the word gets out that somebody needs help, you know, I don't know that it'll ever change because some things just don't. And I don't believe that I'm so powerful that I can cause change. But what I know is that just like when addicts traveled across the country 52 years ago, spreading the message that you never have to use again, that I can spread the message that one woman can help another woman no matter what. That, you know, we are connected. And if you think you're not connected to this woman because she's got more clean time than you, you're wrong. You both have a sponsor. You both have a sponsor, and look, we're connected. And then I see these young girls, and I mean young girls. I live in the highest producing methamphetamine county in the country. And these girls come in, and they're terrified, and they're in drug court. And so every meeting they go to is full of all their drug court cronies that they all used with. How honest are you willing to get about who you ripped off when the person you ripped off is right next to you? And so these women are starting to come into this group, and they meet women from, you know, different parts of the country, and they hear about things that are happening, like this party, and they hear about this connection that we have. And there's other women who look, oh, well, I'm not part of your group. Well, you know what? You have your own. We all have our own. I mean, I'm listening to you, and you're talking about these people who are here, and I'm thinking the whole first two row is your sponsees, your sponsees, your sponsees. And I love that. I know that there's my sponsor's in here and one sponsee of mine is in here. And I feel like I'm loved on both sides. You know, I have it. I have that love, and I have the love when they asked me to speak on sponsorship, all I could think of is, like, you can't go wrong, because sponsorship is how I stay clean here. Sponsorship is how I stay connected. Sponsorship could be every title in that book. Someone who believes in me, sponsorship. Sponsorship. It's all about sponsorship. And I agree. If you're not sponsoring people, you're missing half the boat. You know, there are people that I sponsor that, you know, have been clean 10 years. Oh, I don't have time. Well, that's too bad, because you're missing half the boat. If you're not getting the whole deal, if you're not living, you're not living. You know, once you've stayed clean 24 hours, it's a choice. It's your choice. You can use or not use. Now it's a choice. 24 hours gone. I'll tell you something. If you think being sponsored is a trip, you start sponsoring people. Because when these little girls come running up to me and say, oh, you're my sponsor, I'm like, all I can think of is, that must have been what I looked like. And if that's the way that they feel connected, good for them. I'm glad I can help. So, like I said when I first started, if your sponsor's not here and you can reach them by phone, please call them. If your sponsees are not here, oh, call them too. Although I really believe that it's the relationship is on the sponsee. And when we take that moment of silence, if you could just say a little prayer for those people who can't get to a meeting, don't know where a meeting is, have no basic text, and all they have is the hope and the prayer that we've been giving them for as long as they've been in the room, let's send them a little more. Thank you very much.
How about another applause for our great speakers, huh? Alexander and Karen. We can feel the love. I'd like to ask, this is truly a world convention. We have our friend Vikrant from Nepal, who's going to read We Do Recover.
Namaste. My name is Vikrant. I'm an addict. Before reading this thing, I would like to thank these guys for their share. I remember my father telling me when I was young, and whenever I used to feel fearful or feel like crying or whatever, he was like, "No, you don't have right to cry, or you don't have right to be scared or whatever, you know." And I'm so glad I'm here, and I would like to thank you guys that. Yeah, I would like to thank you everybody. I mean, that's you taught me how to cry. I mean, and you taught me it's okay to be fearful, or it's okay to feel what you feel today. Thank you everybody. And we do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is that left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best as we can to be a bare ends, jails, institutions for death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last chance, choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in men's entire history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to all of us. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our three readers, Chris, Opal, and Kant. Thank you all for participating. And again, for our two speakers, and let us join and do the God thing. Amen.